Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Steve Dale here on WGN. Ruta Lee is just absolutely incredible, and I'm so excited to have the opportunity to talk with her again. She is Hollywood. I mean, really. She's the author of a book called Consider Your A.S. I don't even know that I could. They tell me I cannot say the name of the book. Then Kiss.
Donkey.
A donkey, he
yes,
says.
Yes, word for donkey.
She's a treasure from the golden age of Hollywood, the co-founder of the Thalians, which we'll talk about. She starred in, name a TV show, any TV show from the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. She guest starred on that show from Burns and Allen to Marcus Welby to The Love Boat to The Lucy Show to Here's Lucy, 77 Sunset Strip, Roseanne, on and on and on. I mean, the list, hundreds of them. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. She was in that movie. She was in Funny Face with Fred Astaire. Her credits go on, and co-starred with Frank Sinatra in a movie. And if I continue, we won't even have time to talk with Ruta Lee. Welcome to the program.
What a beautiful opening, and I feel like it was my obituary. Thank you very much, Dale.
Steve, and you are not going anywhere, I hope. You know, one reason why I wanted to talk to you, and I happen to know you and Lucille Ball were good buddies. I mean, personally, friends. Yes, you co-starred in several of her programs. You aren't old enough. I mean, you weren't around for I Love Lucy, but her later shows, yes, you appeared as a guest star many times. Did you see the movie Being the Ricardos?
I have not seen it, but I am unhappy about it for one reason.
Why?
And that is that I'm not in it. I was up for the part of one of the writers.
Oh.
And Madeline Pugh. And it really bothered me that I didn't get the role because her co-writer on most of the Lucy shows was a marvelous man named Bob Carroll.
Yes.
And Bob Carroll lived around the corner from me in Laurel Canyon. And I used to wander over and have dinner with him on occasion, and we'd laugh and scratch and carry on. It was never a romantic thing, just friends. But we were close, and of course I was close to Lucy, and I'm close to Little Lucy, as she's known. Desiree Arnaz, Lucy Arnaz, and she lives here in Palm Springs, and I have a home in Palm Springs as well. So I'm sort of part of the family in a way. And I write about her in my book, the title of which you don't dare say, but then I always say, my darling, then I certainly am not too proud to kiss it.
I warned you about her! This is live radio. Don't get me in trouble. Just don't go any further.
How can we get in trouble talking about Jesus at Christmas?
I'll buy that. So let me back up a little bit. Yes, it's interesting. I did not know you were up for that part. What I do know is you were up in Gilligan's Island. You were up for the part of Ginger, I believe.
Yes, I was. And clearly I didn't get it because she had really big boobs. And I don't, and never have. I have always said I owe most of my career where I was cast as a sexy dame to B.F. Goodrich because I wore so much rubber in my life.
Well, I was just going to say, you could have manufactured that. I mean, after all, it is showbiz.
It is showbiz. Lord knows the rubber companies really helped a lot of people and a lot of girls in showbiz anyway.
So when you do see the movie, what you're going to find interesting is that they showed Lucy thinking comedy in her head and instructing writers. From what I believe, because I've talked, back in the day, as you know, I knew Lucy,
yes,
and we talked about this. She didn't do any of that. She would exaggerate on what they wanted her to do. She would embellish upon what brilliantly, like no one else in the history of film or TV has ever done. However, she didn't ad-lib anything, and she didn't construct the comedy in her mind, to my knowledge, but you would know more than me.
I don't know that I would know more than you. I know that she would brook no foolishness on the set when you were working. You know, you think, oh, gee, you're working with Lucy. It's going to be one big laugh all the time. That's not so. She worked very, very hard, but I never heard her instruct anybody on what to do other than move over here because you're in the camera's way or, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm thinking that maybe that's why Bob Carroll and Madeline Pugh were writers for a long time, is that maybe they were able to get into her head without really having to open it with a can opener, you know, that she, they read what she was thinking and how she worked. But I'm with you. I never saw her give anybody instructions. And if she gave them, sometimes they might sound a little harsh because she'd say, you know, move over here. Now, don't just stand there. Wait a second. And you'd say, ooh, I'm not doing something right. And she didn't mean it that way. It's just that she didn't want to waste time on a set. And, you know, when she was done, she'd give you a hug and a kiss and tell you how wonderful you were. But I loved working with her, and she had me on the shows a lot because I was also somebody that she had faith in. And she always said that I was a very talented broad, is the way she put it.
She actually, I asked her about this once. I said, you've worked with a lot of friends and family. I mean, her two children were on Here's Lucy.
Yes.
You know, I mean, but other family members as well. A man by the name of Sid Gould, I know, was a relative.
Oh, sure,
right,
yeah.
Right, of Gary's. So lots of family, lots of friends. And she said something like, what the hell is wrong with nepotism?
Well, she's absolutely right. Why not? Why not work with the people that you know and love? And I think in many ways, a lot of the people that she worked with became family. They felt a great kinship and an admiration for her. And you could see how hard she worked very clearly. She didn't just sit back and sip her tea or coffee in her chair and, you know, wake me when it's over. She was really wonderful, and of course I loved her. Of course I loved her off the screen too, and I loved her sense of humor, and it was very droll. And I was lucky enough to be one of the kind of regulars that came to play games with Lucy.
Explain what I know what you mean by that, but explain what you mean by playing games.
Well, she adored things like charades or any kind of mind games.
I know she likes Scrabble, backgammon. Backgammon.
Oh, yes.
Sure, yeah.
Backgammon became her life for a while. That's when I sort of fell off the list because I didn't play backgammon. One day, Gary called me and he said, Roots, how's your backgammon? And I thought it was to come over and play. And I said, kind of not too good. And he said, well, you're playing a role where you're playing backgammon and blah, 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 blah. And so I got the part anyway, but scared the hell out of me that I was going to really have to play with her because she was damn good at it, you know. But boy, she was good at charades too, and it would be Carol Burnett and Tom Troop and his wife Carol Cook and Barbara Stewart and Dick Gaudier, and we'd be over just about every week to play charades. But as I write in my
what? She did it again.
She had to bring a sandwich. You'd never know that she was married to a Jewish man because Jews' refrigerators are always full of good stuff to eat. And at Lucy's, if you got a stick of celery on peanut butter, it was a big deal, you know.
Well, what made her such a great comedian?
I think she was born with that gene that knew, and of course, comedy was a lot broader in the days when Lucy was a comedian and set the tone and the mark for everybody. It was broader than what we are doing now. It was as straight out of vaudeville, if you really stop and think about it, you know, refined vaudeville. And I think that she just simply had that innate thing of being able to exaggerate one look by raising an eyebrow that would bring a great big laugh that nobody else really knew how to do.
Well, the television camera's kind of intimate, right? So if you're performing and you have on stage, which I want to ask you about in a moment, but if you're doing that, that one look can't be seen in the back row. You know, that's impossible. If you're doing a movie, it's not quite the same. But television seems to be, to me, the most intimate of medium.
Well, you better have your act together and know your stuff, especially if you're working in front of an audience, which is what Lucy did. She worked the four-camera system. And for your darling listeners, all of whom I love, there are more Lithuanians in Chicago than there are in Lithuania, you know.
I did not know.
Oh, well, there's a huge, huge Lithuanian, well, all Eastern European country natives, you know, Poles, Lithuanians, Latvians, Estonians, all kinds, but lots of Lithuanians. Anyway, I got off the subject. Where was I? I was talking about four-camera system.
Yes, and
which
we could
a lot of your viewers may not understand. You worked in front of a live audience that was set up in bleachers up high so that they weren't down below the stage. And they could look in on everything. And four cameras were working. One would be a close-up camera on Lucy. One would be a close-up camera, let's say, on me. Then there would be a medium shot camera that captured both of us in it. And the other camera captured the long shot of the scene and where we were and the furniture in it. And you had to choreograph every move that you made, if you were picking up a cup of tea or setting down a cigarette in a tray or moving across the room. It was choreographed like a ballet because each camera had to follow that person and not interfere with the camera shot on the other person. So you really had to know your stuff.
Yeah, and I think Desi Arnaz,
and she appreciated
actually
anybody that could work hard and fast and not miss their marks and not have their nose in her close-up, you know?
Yeah, and I think it was Desi Arnaz, I was going to say, that actually developed the technique, and not her. And if she was given credit for it, she would jump in and say just that. It was Desi that did that. I didn't do that. You'll be happy.
She was good about, you know, giving credit where it was due. And
yes.
Lord knows he had a great deal to do with it. But, of course, it was her stance of I'm doing this with him, whether you like it or not, that made history as well.
Yeah, the CBS didn't want to do the show, and they talk about that in the movie, too. You don't know her, you know her face. She's been in literally hundreds of sitcoms from the 1950s through the 1980s, and we were talking about, yes, she knew Lucille Ball, and we were talking about what Lucy is really like. We have some text for you, Ruta. Are you ready?
I sure am, sweetie.
All right. I saw you on a rerun of the Match Game recently. You were a hoot, writes one texter. Another wants to know what it was like to work with Alex Trebek on a game show.
Oh, well, Alex, of course, I still smile every time I think about him, was my lovely, lovely friend and neighbor, lived not far from me as well. Right from the beginning when we did High Rollers, we became friends the minute we said, how do you do? He's also Canadian-born, as am I, and so we had a lot in common. He was from Sudbury, Ontario. I, of course, was born in Montreal, Canada, and then I'm an adopted daughter of these blessed United States of ours, and as was Alex, and so proud to have worked with him and spent a lot of time with him and considered him one of my best friends. And in fact, had dinner with him and his beautiful wife. I should say his beautiful wives, because both
his wife
and his former wife, we were all at dinner together. The five of us had dinner together. And it was just, what, I think 4 or 5 days before he died.
Oh.
So it was a very lovely kind of farewell supper together, you know. But isn't that interesting that Alex was first married to Elaine. Elaine and he eventually divorced, very sad, but that's the way life goes. And Elaine, when she got married, some 5 years later or something, Alex walked her down the aisle to her new husband. Now,
wow.
I think that's pretty much a wild Hollywood story.
That's a wild story, period.
But isn't that great? And then, of course, when he married Jean, who was the most beautiful thing in the world, both inside and out, they were all good friends. which is very, very nice. And in fact, Alex adopted Elaine's child from a previous marriage and made her his family. So she's a Trebek. So it was all very loving and civilized and very sophisticated.
Well, Ruta, we have our texts are just filling up here. This is Ruta Lee I'm talking to. And text after text after text, I'll read a few of them, but then they get a bit monotonous. Go Lithuania. Us Lithuanians.
Oh, how nice to hear that.
Lithuanian here from Lamont. I mean, on and on and on and on. You are involved with supporting Lithuania. You're involved with supporting, I mentioned before in the commercial I read, about veterans. Can you tell me a bit about both of those things?
I'd be happy to. I'm also a citizen, believe it or not, of Lithuania, because ever since the days when I literally, in a slightly drunken stupor from too much good wine, after I'd gotten word that my one remaining grandparent could be dead for all we knew, because in those days everything took, you know, from 2 to 6 weeks to come in from the Soviet Union, and I went out with friends that night, and they consoled me by pouring a lot of wine. And the more wine I drank, the more obvious it became that I should do something quite extraordinary, and that is pick up the damn phone and call Khrushchev. So I placed a call at about 2 in the morning.
Wow. How did you have the number?
I didn't have the number. I in those days, you maybe are old enough to remember that we could do person-to-person calls. You paid twice as much for the call if you got through. But if you didn't get through, you didn't pay for the call.
Did he use his
shoe? And so I placed a call to Nikita Khrushchev, the Kremlin, Moscow, USSR. And that rotten lady said, "How do you spell Khrushchev?"
Hey, Ruta.
Well, who the hell knew how to spell Khrushchev?
Did he use his
anyway,
Ruta.
Long story short, I worked miracles by doing the unthought of.
Oh.
I got permission to go to Lithuania, where it was one of the satellite countries that nobody could go to unless you were a very high Communist Party official. And I got permission to go and to take my mother and father, even though the State Department advised me not to take them because they could be detained as primary citizens of the Soviet. But me, they couldn't, because my folks were born, raised, and married there. And I went, and it was a miracle. And then 6 months later, after we found her, I went back and brought her back to the United States. And that little old lady with her babushka on her hair, you know, and a little white apron and her little skirt and blouse that I brought her, got off the plane. We didn't have jetways in those days. This was in the early 60s. And she walked down the steps of the plane and dropped to her knees on the ground, kissed the ground, and said, "Hello, America." Hmm. I'm in a spate of tears every time I think about how precious America was to a foreigner who had ever, all of her life, heard about it, thought about it, dreamed about it, and now she was here.
Do we sometimes forget, do you think, how precious our country is?
We, especially, I swear to God, our younger people, our college age and down, have not the vaguest idea of what the history of this country is, what it's done in the world, what it's done to be the number one nation, and we're fast depleting that. And I'm scared to death that people are not conscious of what communism is, and that socialism is the first rung of that glorious step to hell, which is called communism. And I speak because I know how my whole family was persecuted and sent to Siberia for years and years, and some died there, and some were able to return, but it's all so awful.
Ruta?
But anyway, that's why I am so supportive of our veterans, which is the other question you were asking me about. As you know, Debbie Reynolds and I were the head mothers of the mother superiors, as I put it, of an organization called the Thalians, which is basically Hollywood for mental health. And we Thalians, by shining a bright Hollywood spotlight into that dark abyss known as mental illness, were hoping to bring it into the light of healing. You know, it was a closet disease. Nobody wanted to talk about mental illness in a family or anything. And we took on the subject of mental health and raised millions and millions and millions of dollars. And then we joined up with UCLA and Operation Mend because we realized that while we were dealing from pediatric through geriatric cases, we were overlooking a plight of the returning veteran, those beautiful young men and women who are willing to put their lives on the line for us, whatever hell corner we send them to in the world, were coming back and sometimes falling through the cracks, slipping through, and not being given the best America had to give to the young, beautiful people that were willing to give it up. And so we joined up with UCLA and the Ronald Reagan Hospital and Operation Mend.
Well, Ruta, I'm interrupting only because we are right on top of a newscast here. What is the website for the Thalians where I know you have further information?
Oh, thank you. It's the Thalians, Thalians, .org.
All right. And when we podcast it, we'll put the link right there.
Bless you.
I just love talking to you. And I'll tell you, we ought to listen to people who have wisdom because they've simply been around a while, and you certainly do have wisdom. A belated Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and your family. Thank you, Rudolph.
And to you, and may God keep smiling on you and all your listeners. God bless you.